today on Real Radio.
You're a Christian, and you're born again. You're going to heaven. And it says in verses 1 and 2 that we're to be following Christ. But in verses 3 and 4, it says, don't even have these things named among you. It's not fitting. It doesn't go with the believer. You say you're a Christian, but you can't be a fornicator and be a Christian. You can't be unclean or involved in uncleanness and be a Christian. Now, those are not my words. Paul's going to say it in a moment. It doesn't fit.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're in chapter 5, and verses 3 through 17 speak of living that separate life in the sense that we are to shun sin. And the list here is quite specific. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Things That Make Us Fall.
Look at verse 4. He says, neither filthiness, this word filthiness, he says, of course, again, continuing that it shouldn't be named among us or be fitting as saints. The word here, filthiness, is obscenity and sensual words. Dirty, suggestive jokes and words. Shouldn't be. Why? It'll ruin our witness. Filthiness, filthy talking. Shouldn't be named among us. Ruins your witness. The next thing it does in verse 4 is that it dulls our senses. Look what he says. He says that we shouldn't be involved in foolish talking either. Foolish talking. Are you ready for this? Great, great meaning of the word in the Greek. Foolish talking is stupid words. Stupid. Meaningless words. Stupid words. Things that don't matter. And that can be many things. Foolish talking. Spreading foolish things. Does it build up or does it tear down? Does it glorify Christ or does it dethrone Christ? Does the talking that flows out of your mouth or my mouth, if somebody hears it in the area, are they going to be gravitating toward Christianity and Christ? Or saying, hey, I don't want anything to do with that guy or those people. What's happening? Foolish words, foolish talking. Also, we need to be careful because these sins that are listed here can callous our mind. He says that we're not to be involved in coarse jesting. Are you guys okay? I know this is not one of the most uplifting Wednesday nights that we can go through, but we got to go through it verse by verse, word by word. And the word is coarse jesting. It shouldn't be. It didn't say jesting, thank God. Jesting's goofing around, jokes, being funny or lighthearted. We'd have to throw Tom Musser out of the church if that was it. Is he here tonight? Let's throw him out tonight, seeing that he's not here. No, Tom, we voted Wednesday night, and no. Tom's great for a laugh. I never see Tom sad, you know. Always, laugh. And now, it says coarse jesting. And the word coarse jesting is vulgar joking. And this is the thing where people are, you ever seen those people or heard those people? This is exactly what it means when somebody says, somebody will say something. And it's fine. It's just okay. They'll say, we'll go there, or we'll do this, or whatever. And everything's normal. And someone who is given to coarse jesting will go, wow, you mean, and they'll say something dirty. They'll throw something dirty in there. What are you talking about? Oh, I'm just kidding. Kind of a weird, perverted thing. What is that? And then somebody's talking and talking and talking, and it comes out of their mouth again. They're just thinking evil all the time. You know, and a lot of young people get caught up into the sin from the enemy. Everything's so sexual innuendo, or dirty innuendos, or mean and coarse jesting. Hey, you want to hear this joke? Oh, listen, hi, and this thing, and then you know the guy, and you go, you know, and it's usually nasty. That's coarse jesting. It's stupid stuff, and it doesn't do anything, but listen, stick in your head and heart. Isn't that weird? Isn't it funny? Watch. I mean, don't watch. If you relax your mind, if your mind's any way like my mind, and don't look at me so pious now, if you relax your mind and not have your heart governed by the Word of God, your mind can go back to years and years and years ago of some situation somewhere at some corner or some locker room or something, and you can hear, you can be in church. You can, I've been in church, praise the Lord, you know, hallelujah, and poof, oh. You know what I'm talking about? You can be in the Spirit and, oh man, Lord, that was 20 years ago. You got to fight with it every day. Have you noticed that? You guys are a bunch of liars. You're looking around at me going, oh no, I don't know what you mean. Satan will always bring it up. That's why we've got to deal with it daily. My heart goes out for young boys, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, getting involved in pornography. They think they're in the little corner or hiding out somewhere. Ooh, you know, nobody knows, nobody sees. Ay, 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 wow, wow, wow. You know what? They have no idea. They're destroying their thought processes for the rest of their life. I mean it. Talk to people who have been given over to that. It ruins them. And the poor kid, he doesn't even realize. He just knows that, oh, this is so, you know, radical. He has no idea that there's going to come a time that he's going to wish to God that never happened. He's going to pound his fist with his head and say, get this out of my mind, God. I've had non-Christians say to me, you know what? I'm happily married. My wife is wonderful. And every time I close my eyes, I see pictures of the past. And they hate it. Right now, you know, some guy's thinking, oh, this is so funny. It's cool. It's not. It's demonically energized. It's dangerous. And you got to gird up the loins of your mind, says the Bible, and memorize the Bible, and memorize Scripture, and flood yourself in the Word of God. It's a terrible thing. Be careful that your mind doesn't get calloused, even with this coarse jesting. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, how can you being evil, he's speaking to the Pharisees, the religious rulers of the day, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of your heart your mouth speaks. Yikes. It's not fitting for the saint. The next thing he does here in verse 4 down toward the end is we need to be careful against things that don't exalt Christ, and that is things that are not fitting. This word fitting is a word that it's not to be plugged into. It's not to be associated with the believer. And I thought about this and how funny it is. If you look at this right now, you're a Christian and you're born again, you're going to heaven. And it says in verses 1 and 2 that we're to be following Christ. But in verses 3 and 4 it says, don't even have these things named among you. It's not fitting. It doesn't go with the believer. You say you're a Christian, but you can't be a fornicator and be a Christian. You can't be unclean or involved in uncleanness and be a Christian. Now, those are not my words. Paul's going to say it in a moment. It doesn't fit. And think how silly it would be. And some Christians, when they backslide, they'll do this. Oh, you know, I'm going to try on something of the past. There is a saying, when I thought of this, I'm probably carnal. But when I saw this word about not being fitting, you know what came to my mind? Is the Father of the Bride, number one, the first movie, Father of the Bride. There's a scene when Steve Martin is in the attic trying on his old tuxedo from high school days. And it does not fit. And he's going, all right, looking good, my man. And he's standing there, and the sleeves are like this on his tuxedo. He looks like an absolute idiot. And then he leans over and rips the whole thing wide open. Why? It doesn't fit. Why? He went back to something 20 years ago. It doesn't fit. The Christian goes, hey, let's try on fornicating. Hey, looking good. No, you don't. It doesn't fit. Hey, let's try on some drugs. It's been a while. The Christian doesn't fit anymore in his drug apparel. Hey, let's try some... It doesn't fit anymore. Have you noticed? It doesn't fit. When you have fallen away from Christ and you go back and do the things you once did before, have you noticed it doesn't fit? It doesn't fit. Makes you throw up. Makes you sick. Thank God it does. If you can wallow in that, and if you can wear that suit of the past, you're probably still a product of the past and living in the past, and you may have never had a future in Christ if you're comfortable with those kinds of clothes. I mean spiritually and in your conduct. It just doesn't fit. Somebody might say, well, if I just loosen a little bit of my commitment, it'll fit again. Oh, yeah, that's true. You can try to loosen a little bit of your commitment, but things won't fit in the past. Well, if I just loosen a little bit and lose a little weight here in my prayer life, maybe I can do my old thing again. Oh, that's not going to work either. You can try. It won't work. If I just give up and lose a little bit of my Bible reading and Christ-centeredness, maybe it all fit together again. No, it won't. It will be a dead end. And Paul says in Ephesians 4:20, you have not so learned Christ. Isn't that true? It just doesn't fit. There's something wrong about the office of a Christian and the conduct of the world. It doesn't fit. There's the fruit of the Christian. There's the fruit of the world. The fruit of the Christian leads to life, and the fruit of the world leads to death. I'm not going to touch much at all about this next thing, but Monday night on one of the news stations, I've been sick, so I've been home watching all these news things, and what a week for news it has been. And somebody on one of these news programs said, incredible, you know, I got the panel, you know, they're all there. Somebody big, I don't know, it wasn't Sam Donaldson, because I would have remembered that. It wasn't Cokie Roberts and Peter Jennings. It was some other biggie, said, maybe it's time that we reconsider the requirements for the presidency of the United States. They're too strict. Hey, let's all run then. Yeah, that's great. If your kid can't read, make everything so that you don't have to read, rather than teach your kid how to read. You never lower the standard, ever, never, never, ever. That is a death notice, people. Lower the standard of a university entrance exam, and what you'll have? You'll have a retarded university. You'll have a university that can't walk. You'll have a university that can't read, can't function in the world, can't get a job. You don't lower the standard of the presidency, and you don't lower the standard of a Christian. Jesus didn't come on the scene and say, hey, let's give it your best shot, but if you can't make it, you know what? Let's just talk about, I don't know, 6 of the 10 commandments? Or let's kind of walk in light? No, he gives us the power by the Spirit to get in Christ, to walk with him. You don't lower the standard of Christianity or the presidency. You know, the Marines say, we're looking for a few good men. Well, Jesus isn't looking for a few good men, and I mean men as mankind. He's not looking for a few. He makes them good. He makes them alive. We can't do it on our own. But he gives us life. And if Christ has given us life, he's given us light. And if we have light, we're going to walk in a newness of life. And in verses 5 to 7, things that make us fall. We want to make sure that we avoid things that lead us away from Christ. He says here, for this you know, that no fornicator, that is a person who is practicing fornication. He says, no unclean person, referring back to the person of uncleanness, they practice this, they live this. A covetous person, a person who's an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Does anyone not understand that? I didn't say it. Paul the Apostle says, if you are having sex and you're not married, you have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. He says, if you are committing adultery, and that's your thing, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why does he say this? To keep us out? No, to get us to walk in the light. It's not befitting saints. We can choose to do our sin, or we can choose to follow Christ. But he'll give us the power. That's the wonderful thing about Christianity. He'll give us the power to not have to be ruled by these things. If a person says, you know, I'm living with this guy or I'm living with this girl, but we love each other and we're Christians. I don't care what you say. You know what? I don't care what I say either. You just explain to me Ephesians 5 verse 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and Galatians chapter 5. Paul says, I've told you before that none of these people... In fact, why don't you turn over there real quick? A little bit to the left. I don't want to spend much time here, but... He says in verse 19, Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are these, which are evident. They are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery. By the way, that's the word pharmakei, pharmacy, drug use. It's not mixing potions. And the word sorcery is pharmacy, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath. You're absolutely out of control. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, and heresy. Envy, murder. Listen to all these sins. These are things that people choose to do. These are sins of choice. You don't have a DNA for these. You understand? Sorry, Time Magazine a few years ago, as I told you before, Time Magazine had on the cover, is adultery genetic? Yeah, it is. Sure. It's from not keeping your jeans on. No, it's not genetic. It's a choice. Gosh, I'm sorry, but you know what? I just can't stop fornicating. Must be a genetic problem. Drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It won't happen. We need to walk in the light. We cannot say that we walk in the light and live in darkness. It's impossible. Let's keep going quickly. He says, let no one deceive you, verse 6, with empty words. The word empty here is to say one thing and to live differently. I'm a Christian. That's great. Then what you and I do in our lives, Jesus is right along with us and approving of those things. There are times when we are not Christian-like, not Christ-like. Those are the things that we repent of and forsake immediately. Like it's a hot potato, you get away from the thing. It can destroy us. Empty words. Hypocrisy. We live one thing and say another. For because of these things, the wrath of God, this is radical, comes upon the sons of disobedience. This is tremendous because the word here also means and also appears in other portions of Scripture that the wrath of God is abiding. It's hanging over. In John chapter 3, verse 36, you ought to jot it down next to that verse here in Ephesians. John 3:36 says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life. This is Jesus' own words, but the wrath of God abides on him. The word is... implies that there's a sword that's dripping with judgment right over their neck in the spiritual realm. Isn't that tremendous? The person is walking, and just like the guy with the donkey, Balaam, there's a sword drawn for the angel to cut the head off of Balaam the prophet because he's walking in disobedience. And the donkey, you know, sees it all and warns him. The same thing is here. The person who is not walking in the light, but in the rejection of Christ, it's as though there's a sword hanging right on the back of their neck. And it's the sword of God. And he doesn't delight in judgment, says the Bible. He doesn't want to do this. He doesn't want this to happen. But we have to be careful. about these very things, because the natural man is prone to these things. Our old flesh delights in these things. That's why we war in our spirit and our flesh against one another. The wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Real quick, don't be fellowshippers with them. Now, the Bible doesn't say don't fellowship with sinners. Don't be around sinners. We have to be around sinners, don't we? Some of us live with them. Some of us have them growing up in our homes, or some of them are our parents, or some of them are our bosses, or some of them are our employees. Paul says, listen, for you to avoid sinners, you would have to leave the world. But in being among them, we are not to fellowship with them. That is, we are not to be intimate with them. And you might say, well, what does that mean? Simple thing to keep in mind. If your dealings with unbelievers is not preeminent to get them to faith in Jesus Christ, then you have some other reason to be with them. And whatever that reason is, it's not a good one. Well, I'm trying to get them signed to be a member of the health club. That's not a good reason. That can be a peripheral reason way down the road, but your first reason as a Christian walking in the light is to what? Bring them to light. Why? The health club's going to burn up. Their body's going to poop out. They need to go to heaven. Do you, do I, if we're walking in the light, have the desire to lead people to Christ? If that's true, then we're going to be bent on telling people about the love of God. And it will come out in our jobs, it will come out in our neighborhoods, it will come out in our life. Because we walk in the light, we want people to go to heaven. We don't partake with them. Now look at verses 8 to 12. This is important if you would jot this down. Verses 8 through 12 is that things that would make us to fall, we need to be careful that we are walking and talking the walk in the light. Look what he says. He says, for you were once darkness. Notice it doesn't say you were once in darkness. Isn't that amazing? It says you, that's you and I, were once darkness. We were the darkness. That is something. We were the darkness once, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. That's who we are now. We are children of the light. We once used to walk in darkness because we were darkness. We used to plan evil. We used to do evil. The scripture tells us that this is what we once were. We were dark, but now we are light. This is good news. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is all of those wonderful attributes listed also in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Things That Make Us Fall, a study taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, and of course other biblical sources that instruct us in how to live now that we are representatives of Messiah. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now remember to set the dates aside, February 20th, 21st, and 22nd. That's right around the corner. The weekend event is called the Southern California Prophecy Conference that takes place here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. Now, we know that resources are a bit tight, so we've taken that into consideration as far as the registration fee, which we have completely waived. We simply want you to be equipped with the information that you'll receive at the conference. The Southern California Prophecy Conference. In fact, you can visit us at SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. You can also give us a call if you'd like, toll free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.